Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
Have you ever made a bad financial investment? A number of years ago, I made a small investment in a solid Canadian company. Had an amazing board, bright prospects, only to have that company go bankrupt and tie up my money in a long, drawn-out process of remediation. It is now 16 years later, and I can still log on to my account dashboard, my account dashboard, and see my money sitting there, but I can't access it. And I don't think I'll be able to before I die. I'll leave it in my kids' will. Jokes on them. But you know what? I've made good financial investments too, investments that have done well, earning profits and dividends and generating revenue, investments that make you feel a little flush of excitement when you open up the app and you see everything in the green, trending up. Friends of mine did even better. 5 years ago, I have friends that invested modestly in a little company you may have heard of called Tesla and Apple. Thank goodness they're godly men who are giving it away, but it's paying off for them. But here's the thing. Even the best investments that yield the most amazing returns don't do anything for you after you die. Did you know that? Even the highest yielding investment fails in the face of death. Have you ever seen a hearse hauling a U-Haul? Ever seen a bank account benefiting after death? Neither have I. Job said it, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. Paul said it, we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. No matter how big your pile gets, you ain't taking it with you. Is that it though? Is there anything that we can do with our money that can kind of get around that inevitable experience called death? If only there was a way to take our money and make it count beyond the grave in an ever-yielding dividend for eternity. If only there was a way. Well, there is, and that's what we're looking at today. Here's the truth. The best investment you'll ever make is in a company that is offering some modest, meaningful returns in the short term, but guarantee a massive payoff after you die. Profits that can be collected and enjoyed post-mortem. Now, is this one of those investments that sounds a little too good to be true? Don't take my word for it. Let's see what Jesus and Paul have to say. That's where we're going today. And why are we talking about this today? Well, because we've just come through a series of weeks of focused missional challenge and specific missional giving. In October, you were invited to consider the incredible work of Bible translation. And a number of you I know got on board to support Bruce and Raywin Weeb and the crucial work of translating God's eternal word into languages that have never, ever before been written down. Last Sunday, you were invited to give to the needs of the poorest of the poor. Through our Matthew 25 challenge, we were set up. And then on Chosen Sunday, we were given an opportunity. And as you already heard, 21 families or singles or couples, 21 of us responded, signed up to be chosen by a child from one of the poorest areas of the world in the Karawa region in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And just this past Thursday, I don't know what you were doing on Thursday, but just this past Thursday, there was actually a party over in Karawa where kids lined up and they examined closely the pictures of these strange white folk from some obscure region called Erickson. And during that event, there was a kid musing and then picking you. You beautiful person, you. your beautiful family. One kid chose you, and we're going to find out this coming week as Leslie talked. We're going to find out at Reveal Sunday, this coming Sunday, we're going to find out who picked you. And then some others of you missed the deadline on Sunday because it closed fast in order to get the pictures over there and the party, blah, blah, blah. But some of you missed the deadline, but then got a hold of me, and we reached out directly to World Vision to make sure you got a Congo kid. You didn't get to go through the Chosen program, but you wanted to get a Congo kid, and you can too. On top of all these recent missional challenges, we as a church, we've seen an upswoop in overall giving to various missional initiatives, like the Kernels of Hope program back in the spring, helping farmers produce better crops for their families, for their community, for their livelihood. We also saw increased giving to the missions trip a year ago in Ecuador. But overall, and this is really important for you to hear, overall, more and more of you have been giving regularly to the work of the Erickson Covenant Church, the daily, weekly, regular work of helping men, women, and children find and follow Jesus. You've been giving, and you've been giving, and you've been giving, so that not only are the lives of others being transformed, but there's a ripple effect through those lives transformed impacting the world. You've been giving generously and faithfully and strategically. And so for today, I'm not issuing any kind of challenge to you. Whew. Right. Oh, good. You knew it was going to be a sermon on giving, and you thought, oh, no, here we go. No. I just want you to sit back and bask today in a little bit of encouragement. I want you to feel the good that is done from the giving already done. I want to applaud you today to show you how much your giving matters, how much your giving counts. How your strategic, generous, faithful, sacrificial giving is actually the best investment you've ever made. It outstrips Apple, Tesla, any other stock on the market, precisely because it will not only outperform these stocks, but it's going to outlast any investment on the market. Through your giving, you've made the best investment you can make because you've invested in God's eternal kingdom. How is it that your choice to give to Erickson Covenant Church, your choice to give to World Vision, to sponsor a kid, your choice to give to Wycliffe Bible Translation, your choice to give to any other mission that pursues the eternal mission of God, how is it that it's the best investment you ever made? Five ways I want to highlight this morning. First, you've just invested in an eternal stock that cannot lose. Temporal investment yields temporal returns, but eternal investments yield eternal returns. In fact, a purely temporal return, no matter how fantastic, no matter how amazing, it always nets zero in the end. Nothing. You can't take it with you. And yet Jesus promises that what is given to God to be used for his purposes, for the people and the things that he cares about, that kind of giving will be rewarded. And Jesus, it kind of makes us feel a little uncomfortable. Jesus is actually not shy about promising reward. Rewards that, in fact, he thinks we should be quite keen and excited about receiving in the end. In the best investment advice ever given, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths or vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal." Pause, you got that, right? You know, whatever's piled up here, it's always at risk. It always can be lost and eventually will be. So don't spend your money on things that cannot last. But Jesus goes on. But store up for yourselves. He actually does tell you to store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus says, you want to make an investment that really matters? You want to sink your savings to a company that really pays? You want to ensure the security of your hard-earned cash? Put your money where God rules. Put your money where God rules. Pour it into an investment that cannot fail. And not only will you heap up eternal rewards, you're also going to get this incredible short-term dividend. That is, you're going to find your whole heart shifting toward the things that God really cares about. As a result, kingdom giving is the most solid investment that you can make, Jesus says. And to be clear, he actually wants you to know there's a payout. that cashing in on this eternal investment is something that we can look forward to. Just a little earlier in the same section in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave, he critiques the kind of prideful giving that people do in order to get kudos from the crowd. You know what I'm talking about? When people are not giving actually to serve others, but they're giving to look good, to feel good about themselves, maybe to be seen as spiritual or generous, you know. That's nuts, Jesus says. It's crazy. People who give for personal glories, they get all their reward up front and they miss out on the eternal payoff later. All they get is applause from the crowd. That's it. And then it's gone, Jesus says. Jesus says, and I quote, they have received their reward in full. How painful is that? They exchanged polite claps for an eternal reward. Instead, Jesus says, give for God only. When you give to the needy, whether you do it anonymously in secret, if you have to, do it that way. But listen to Jesus' promise. He says, your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Jesus is not shy about promising rewards. In fact, he guarantees them to all who will give into the Father's business of transforming lives, of caring for the poor, of seeing his family grow and flourish. Give to what God cares about and your reward is coming. Jesus says so. Which is why I want you to know that whatever it is that you've been giving, however you've stepped up to give, however sacrificial or strategic, or even just as you've started to learn how to give, maybe these are the first moments where you're just starting to give a little bit, however you've decided to give, however you may be giving that causes you to even pinch now, even to go with less in your life, you have done the smartest thing that you could possibly do with your money. Literally the smartest thing. You could have frittered it away on junk. You realize that? You could have just spent it on yourself or given something to your grandkids that'll end up in the landfill soon. You could have hoarded it. You could have ate it. Instead, you made the best investment ever and your reward is coming. You just invested in a stock that cannot, an eternal stock that cannot lose. And the more you put into that stock, the more you'll reap in the end after resurrection. When it comes to our money, we always have to remember the treasure principle. And I've taught about this before. It's found in the Bible, but Randy Alcorn sums it up as this. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. This is what you see all through Scripture. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Can we say that together? Can you read it on screen? You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And that's what you've done. You've taken money. You've taken cash that you cannot take with you, cash that you might have spent on your comfort or your own stuff or your own pleasures. Instead of serving yourself, you sent that money on into eternity. Money which you know you can't take with you to the grave, but now cannot be taken from you beyond the grave. Rather than letting it rot or rust, burn or waste, you've taken this money and you've sent it on ahead of you into eternity. You've taken money and invested it in a stock that cannot lose. And Jesus says, your Father will reward you. Paul says the same thing when he's coaching Pastor Timothy on how to teach rich people how to give. I love this. I just imagine this in my mind. I just imagine Timothy reading this letter to his people. And there's, wealthy people like us in the crowd. Listen to this. Paul's words to Timothy. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, because that's what happens, right? Which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may lay hold of the life that is truly life. Instead of blowing your money on stuff that rusts or even grows in a portfolio of stocks that cannot last, you just invested in an eternal stock that cannot lose. That's number one. But did you see how Paul and Jesus both make a connection between kingdom giving and spiritual growth? Or spiritual status, you could even say. This leads us to the second big encouragement for you today. You've just unlocked your next level of spiritual maturity. There is nothing like kingdom giving to unhitch your heart from the world and to grow your trust in God. Nothing. Jesus already said that where your heart is located, your heart is located where you invest. Literally, invest your stuff, invest your money. If you invest your money in the here and the now, if you put money into your own pleasure or your own security, well, that's actually where your heart is, Jesus says. But if you put your money into the things that God cares about, then that's what you'll care about too. And there's a reason Jesus teaches so much about money. He does, a lot, by the way. Because as we read all over the Bible, loving or hoarding or pursuing or trusting money has this insane ability to stunt our spiritual growth like nothing else. And when you take decisive action to give, to release, to sign up for an automatic withdrawal, to pull cash out of your pocket, to actually get serious about giving to God's kingdom work, you will grow up in Christ like never before. When you start taking your money and using it to build the church, to help the poor, or to reach the lost, you unlock the next level of your spiritual maturity. And Jesus makes this link explicit in his Sermon on the Mount, where he teaches how giving to the kingdom and trusting God for our daily needs, he implies strongly that it is only through sacrificial giving that we'll ever learn to truly trust God. Because if we don't sacrificially give, we'll always depend on our own wealth. But Paul takes it even further, I think. Again, from his letter to Pastor Timothy, watch how Paul connects spiritual danger to material wealth. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world. We can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we should be content with that. Listen to this. Listen to the warning. The warnings he's given. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But giving, true kingdom giving, unlocks profound spiritual growth and insight, which is why Paul moves from this dire danger to tell Timothy, as we already heard, to command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth. People wouldn't have liked that, you know. By the way, do you like it? Do we like being commanded to give our money away? I don't command you ever to give your money. I was just want to issue a simple invitation for you to consider giving your money away. Paul's telling Timothy as a pastor, tell your people, you better be giving money away. Command them. Painful. Anyway, I'm inviting you to consider this command this morning. Command them to do good, to be rich. Oh no, I said I wasn't given a challenge today. You've already done this. Sorry, I digress. But listen to what he's doing. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they lay up for themselves a firm foundation in the coming age. And listen, giving is the only thing that can save the rich. The wealthy, the comfortable, the distracted, the affluent, secure, spiritually stunted person. It's the only way that they will be able to lay up for themselves as a firm foundation for the, lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation in the coming age. And see how important this giving is? Paul says, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. It is only in the release. And my friends, by giving, your giving, you have opened the door to immense spiritual growth in your life. You've let Jesus make changes in your very heart orientation through your wallet. Through your sense of what matters, your willingness to be transformed into the image of Christ is happening because you've given. Way to go. Way to go. And that's what the Father's saying, which leads us to the third way kingdom giving is the best investment you've ever made. You just brought genuine pleasure to God with your joyful giving. Your joyful giving brings God immense delight. Listen to these words of Paul from another letter that he wrote, this time to Christians in the ancient city of Corinth, who were busy pulling together money to help Jewish Christians from whom they'd received the good news of the Messiah. They were pulling together money to help Jewish Christians who were starving at that moment around Jerusalem and Judea. Lots to say here, but I want you to focus on God's response to their giving because it's how he responds to you too. Paul in 2 Corinthians 9, 6. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You see the connection there? Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God loves cheerful giving and he blesses abundantly for it. God is not stingy with those who are not stingy. That's what Paul's saying. He absolutely loves it. He loves, loves, loves it when his kids start to get his heart. And they start to see what God is doing and see what truly matters. And there's this release of joyful generosity into the work of caring for the poor, of winning the lost, of building the church. And I really want you to hear this. When you give in these regular mundane ways that you continue to just take a portion of what you have and give. When you signed up last week to get sponsored by a kid, get chosen by a kid to sponsor them, or you became a regular supporter of a mission that God is close to the heart of God, God shouted with joy to see you give. I really want you to hear that. God loves this stuff. He loves seeing his kids get it. Loves to see when a son or a daughter of his realizes, just how powerful is this, realizes that the only way the money I have can make an ultimate return is if I turn and give it away to the work of God, to help the poor, to find those who are, you know, and find those who are, you know, being called by Jesus. And this happens, this son or daughter starts moving in the direction of God's heart, and there's a change in them as they're being caught up by God, caught up by where their money's going. God loves that. Why? Because he needs your money? God does not need your money. God's got all he needs. God knows what happens, though, when people start giving. When they let his generosity shape them, when they stop trusting their money to secure their lives and start giving their money to the only one who can secure their future. God knows how much giving will transform us, and he knows the massive payoff that he's got designed just for you, which is why everyone needs, for your sake, everyone needs to give. The amount of money that's proportional to your ability, for sure. Percentage proportional giving is the principle in Scripture. From the widow's mite to the rich young ruler and everyone in between, covers all of us. Joyful giving delights God because it transforms us and transforms lives. God is smiling. He is pleased. He is delighted that you are giving. So I want you to see God smiling every time you give cheerfully. It's a beautiful image. But it turns out he's not the only one smiling and cheering. There's another way that your giving is the best investment ever. Through your giving, you just released more praise to God and more prayers for you. When you give, God gets praised. When you give, God gets praised for you. And when you give, God gets praised for you and you get prayed for by others. You don't think there's a little Congolese boy or girl right now, today, on this day, who isn't praising God for you? Who isn't carrying your picture around, holding your picture close, showing it to everybody? They've got a friend in Canada who is going to support them. Just because you lined up last week for a picture and signed up for $49 a month. You bet they are. I can see it now. It's on some little hut in Karawa. Tennille and I, our pictures are posted on the wall. It's got priority of place. It does. I'll guarantee it. In one Congolese family's home, there's Tom and Tennille, these strange white people. You don't think they might be praising God for us? And for you? You may not have thought about it that way, but Paul makes exactly this point, again from that same letter to the Corinthians. He says this, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. See how the riches come for generosity. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And then this is where it gets really crazy. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. You hear that? Supplying needs, but also bringing thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Did you hear that? Your giving not only supplied a need, but resulted in massive thanksgiving to God. And as if that weren't enough, in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you. Isn't that awesome? Your investment, your unbeatable, unlosable investment, where you took money you can't take with you and you sent it on ahead, that investment is creating more praise for God and more prayer for you even now. I mean, how is that for a massive long-term gain and an awesome short-term dividend? Can you seriously beat that? I'd like to see you try. You've just released more praise to God and more prayers for you. Let's wrap it up with a fifth and final way that kingdom giving is the best investment you've made. You've just imitated the generosity of Jesus in your generous giving. When it comes right down to it, all our giving is possible because of the generous gift of Jesus Christ. His grace flows into us and then through us to others. Any generosity that we have, any eternal investment that we make, it's all in imitation of Jesus' generosity to us. Paul said it best when he pointed out to the Corinthian Christians, he pointed them back to the heart of all kingdom giving. He said, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Jesus was the one who made the first eternal kingdom investment. And he did it for you. He took all his savings. He took all his wealth. He took all his gains. And he blew it on us. Take a look around. He blew it on you. For your sakes, for our sakes, he became poor in order that his poverty, his abject humiliation, his penniless, naked, shameful loss would be gain for us. Jesus bet the farm on us. He held nothing back. And so when we give to the Lord, when we take our riches, our hard-earned cash, our small income, our security savings, our bonds, or our stocks, or our options, or our assets, or our simple monthly allowance, and we say, "Lord, this is all yours. Show me how to wisely invest this money in a way that's going to count both now and forever." When we do that, we are doing what Jesus did. We are mimicking him. We're acting out of his grace. We're following his examples. We're imitating his way. Everything else we've said this morning flows from this fundamental fact. Jesus gave it all. And we can too. Jesus was rewarded by the Father, and we will be too. Just as Jesus gave, and through his giving we became rich, we give, and through our giving and resulting loss in the short term at times, we become like Jesus and gain it all in the end. Friends, your generous giving is a sign of Christ in you. Your sacrificial giving is a direct connection to the grace of Jesus, which is operational in you. When I hear about your giving, your generosity, when I see it flowing from this church, some of which is known, much of which is not known, I want you to know what I see: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ flowing through you. Through your financial giving, your sacrificial giving, your kingdom giving, you are making the best investment you can make. And God is going to make good on it someday in ways that you can't imagine. He's also going to help you enjoy it when you understand the difference it's making even now. You're investing in a stock that cannot lose. You're unlocking the next level of your spiritual maturity. You're bringing genuine pleasure to God. You're releasing more praise to God and more prayers for you, and you're imitating the generous grace of Jesus. My friends, I hope you're encouraged with the investments you're making. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the one who became poor for us, who took your riches and spent it with wanton abandon for our sakes, may we be a people whose hearts are captivated with who you are and what you're doing. May we be a people who obediently give, knowing that as we give, you lead us forward. And today, Lord Jesus, I pray specifically that all those who have stepped into giving, who have stepped into a fresh understanding of what it means to actually sign up for giving, support a mission, support the church, whatever it is, Lord Jesus, I pray that on this day, each one would be deeply encouraged to know the truth of your scripture. You've seen it. You're rewarding it. And you will reward it in eternity to come. We bless you and thank you, Jesus, for your generosity to us. May we respond likewise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericksoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.